ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 20. It says this: See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And in that, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence that's here today, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and mercy that's new every morning. And Lord, we ask right now, as we've set apart this time, as there's so many other things we could be doing on a Sunday morning, but we've gathered together in our Father's house to hear our Father speak to us, to hear our Father give us guidance and give us words of encouragement, and to hear our Father speak life into us. We open up our hearts and our minds right now. We speak to our flesh, whether it is tired or what, that we're going to stay awake. We're going to pull on the word. We command our mind to stay focused right now, to stay off of social media, and to plug in to what you're saying right now. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Got a little word of knowledge right there about Facebooking in church. Come on. Somebody said, well, I'm Facebooking the word, Pastor. Listen, more important is that the word gets in your life. Amen? Praise God. So last week, we started a thought. I've just been doing these I call them one-offs every week. I'm getting into a series in February, but I just had some things on my heart as your pastor and as a father in the house. I really want to encourage you in some of these things. And one of the things that's just been on my heart very heavily is our generation, this generation, is losing sight of rewards and consequences. We're losing sight of that whole principle. And that is the whole principle that life runs off of. There are rewards and consequences. And the reason we lose sight of that, because there's been so much said about grace. And grace is an amazing thing, as the song says. Grace is a wonderful thing. But do not misinterpret what grace is. Yes, grace is a great eraser in the eyes of God. Grace is a way that we're still able to access favor from the Lord. But grace will only do so much for you unless you understand the other spiritual principles within the Word of God. And one of them is sowing and reaping. And the book of Galatians tells us, do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap that. In other words, there are consequences to all of our actions. And just because you get saved doesn't mean consequences go out the window. We all have consequences in life. Life is about rewards and consequences, and it's about picking and making our choices based on those rewards and consequences. But when people get confused and they think, well, God forgives me, it doesn't matter. No, my brother, it does matter. Because yes, you're forgiven, but you also have put something in motion in the earth realm that you're gonna have to reap. And so yes, God will forgive you for cheating on your wife. He'll erase that from his eyes, but you put something in motion that is gonna come back and bite you. Yes, God forgives you for smoking weed. He forgives you. He still loves you. He's not mad at you. But you know what? You're sowing into something that is going to produce something that is going to bite you and it's going to hurt you. And we've got a mentality many times that because I ask God to forgive me, everything's all good and all gravy. And I'm just telling you, it's not. So we've got people that will go out and continue to live the same lifestyle they did before they started coming to church, and they wonder why life is not working. It's not working because they haven't taken time in the book to learn the rewards and the consequences. And so the book of Deuteronomy tells us here, God gives us a cheat sheet, so to speak. He gives us the answers to the tests. And he says, here, I'm laying it out for you today. There's life and good. There's death and evil. And in that, I command you today, listen to what he commands us, to love the Lord your God. How many of y'all love the Lord your God? Amen. Most of us are pretty good in that area. I don't think there's anybody in here that doesn't love God, right? We all have a sense of love towards God. But look at the next thing he tells us to do. Today, to love the Lord your God. Now listen to this. To walk in his ways. Now that's a game changer right there. Because there's a lot of people that love God but ain't walking in his ways. They're walking to the club. They're walking to the dealer. They're walking a lot of places, but they ain't walking with the Lord. Now that's a problem. That's a problem. But he doesn't stop there. Keep going. Look what else it says. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, listen to this, and his judgments. His judgments. You know what that means? That means to keep things the way God says they are. Now, the world may tell you abortion is not murder. The world can tell you that. But I'm going to have to keep God's judgments. Because a fetus is a life. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Yeah, but you know, it's different nowadays. It's 2020. God's word doesn't change. Amen. But I have a decision. Am I going to stick with God's commands, his statutes and judgments? Or am I going to keep the ones I've grown up with? Because the statutes and judgments we grew up with, come on somebody, they're different. You know? Do what feels good is something that some of us grew up under. You know, some of us, it ain't no problem having premarital sex, man, as long as you love the person. You know, that sounds all good and everything, except that's not what God's word says. You know, well, ain't nothing wrong. Herb comes from the ground. God made the ground. God made the herb, you know, so we can go out and we can roll a blunt, you know. Yeah, that's people's everyday statute and judgment. But when the Bible says be sober-minded, I got to make a decision. Am I going to adopt God's statutes and judgments, or am I going to keep the world? Can I get an amen on this? And so these are the things that we've got to look at. Now, he says all that, but listen to this next part. He says, do all these things so you can live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you possess. That's what we're talking about here. What is he talking about? He's saying there's rewards to living this way. But we're in a generation, we want rewards for nothing. And can I just tell you right now, there are no participation trophies in the kingdom. Everybody don't get a participation trophy. I know Little League is different nowadays. Come on, somebody. Don't get me started on this. They got Little Leagues, they don't even keep score. I mean, my son Diego, when he first started playing T-ball, they didn't keep score. Can I tell you something? We kept score. We kept score. Why? Because that's not realistic. It's not realistic. There are winners and losers in life. There are rewards and consequences in life. And as much as society wants to get rid of that stuff, his word establishes that for all of us. Can I get an amen on this? Amen. And so this is what we're talking about. We've got to get back informed again about rewards, okay? And the reason last week I started on rewards, because I want your focus to always be on the rewards. See, Adam and Eve lost their focus in the garden. They began to focus on the wrong thing. Instead of focusing on the rewards, this paradise they were in, they zoomed in on the one thing that they couldn't have. And focusing on that one thing caused them to want that even more. How many of y'all have ever been on a diet? And whatever is off limits on that diet is the thing you want more. Can I get an amen on that? You never wanted cake that much in your life until the diet said you can't have it. All of a sudden you're dreaming about cake. You ate cake once a year before that. You know, you had it on your birthday, maybe a piece of New Year's, but that was it. Now you want it every day. Why? Because the focus is, this is what I can't have. And so last week we started talking about the rewards because you need to see the reward of the sacrificial living that we're all called to do. There's a reward to living right. Can I get an amen on that? There's a reward to serving in the house of God. See, some of you, all you could see is, dang, that means I got to get up early. Dang, that means I got to go serve with the kids. And I got to put up with other people's kids and all this stuff. You focus on that, you'll never get anything. But you know what? You won't get rewards either. It's about understanding rewards in the kingdom. And so last week, we talked a little bit about that. That life is always, life is and always will be about your choices. And what influences your choices are rewards and consequences. Every choice you make has a reward or a consequence. Amen? Amen? Every choice. Every choice. Live for God or live for yourself. The choice is yours. And the beautiful thing about choice is it is a gift from God. He could have made us all robots where we just only do what he wants. But you know what? Love is always about a choice. You know? That's the beautiful thing about love. Somebody chose you. They chose you. Amen? This is why single people want to be married so bad, because it feels good to be desired and chosen. Amen? Oh, you ain't give me no amens on that. Praise God. That's all right, though. So Romans chapter, let's jump down now to Hebrews 11:6. We said about this last week. This is an important scripture, and you need to understand this. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And here's the second part. This is what pleases God. That he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So the thing that pleases God is that you believe in him, but you also believe he's a rewarder. Amen? Amen. Say, God's a rewarder. God's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. So when you come to him, you can expect rewards from God. And that pleases God. You know, when we make our confession after giving, God is so pleased with that. That's what the Bible tells us. He likes to be believed, and he also likes to be considered a rewarder. What he doesn't like is when we treat him like he's a miser. And we say things like this, well, you know, I don't want to pray that God blesses me because, you know, there's other people in the world that need blessings. God is up there like, I can't bless everybody? You think I ain't great enough that I can't bless them, and you? See, it's a mentality that is offensive towards God. It's offensive. When you sit there and go, no, you know, I don't ask God for much. That sounds really humble and nice, but that's not what the Bible says he likes. He likes you to think so good of him that you ask him for things. He likes that. He's like, what can I do for you? He's waiting to bless you. And the more you ask of him, he gets pleasure from, because it proves to him you believe his word. But people, well, you know, God, I don't want to ask for much right now, Lord. He's like, man, fool, read my book. Read my book. Ain't you read that Bible yet? Been sitting on your couch, been sitting on your bookcase. No, see, he likes to be believed, and he wants us to know that there's rewards to seeking him. Last week, go back and listen to the podcast. We talked about Daniel and what God rewarded Daniel with in Babylon, and he'll do the same for you. We talked about there was rewards for refusing the delicacies of the world. If you refuse to operate like the world does, there's rewards. When you refuse the wine of the world or pleasures of the world, there's rewards. See, a teenager, all you can see right now is no. And so you want it more. You're focused on the wrong thing. No, I can't have premarital sex. I can't smoke weed. Dang, this life sucks. I don't want to be a Christian. But if you could only see down the road, if you could only get a glimpse of what those that choose to not live like God tells us to, what their life is going to look like. See, when you talk to somebody older, it's like stepping into a time machine. Because I could tell you how this story turns out. Because I went to high school with dudes that smoked weed, that did little drugs, that slept around. And I could tell you where many of their lives ended up without God. I could tell you where my life was heading until I began to focus on God and the rewards for serving Him. And as a young person, you don't know that. That's why you need the OGs. So we can spit game to you. And by OGs, I mean old guys. Come on, somebody. Amen. Or old gals, for that matter. Amen. So God rewarded these things. What did He reward? We said last week, the reward for serving God is favor. The reward for walking with God is enhanced abilities. The reward for doing His commandments is supernatural abilities. The reward for obeying His voice is the anointing, which can make you 10 times better than the average person in your field. 10 times. But see, we don't want to follow the concept. We want to do what everybody else is doing. Everybody else lies to get to the top, we lie to get to the top. Everybody else backbites, we backbite. Everybody else treats the employees underneath them wrong, we do the same thing because this is how it is. We're management. That's how we do it. What would happen if you would follow God's statutes? I tell you what would happen. You get an anointing on you that, like in the book of Daniel, made him 10 times better than the sorcerers and the scientists of his day. And he was just a farm boy. He didn't even go to university. He didn't go to Cal. He didn't go to Harvard. But all of a sudden, he's in front of all these guys telling them, this is how the kingdom's going to be ruled. This is what the dream means. These are the things. So these are the rewards, guys, of serving God. Your marriage could be 10 times better than anybody's marriage in your family to this point. That's why some people don't want to get married, because they're just around brokenness. But what would happen if a husband and a wife said, we're going to do this God's way? Yeah. You want me to tell you what's going to happen? It's going to hurt. But the rewards are going to outweigh all the little pains that go along the way. You're going to have to die a little bit. Amen? Anybody ever died a little bit? You die or you don't. Ain't no die a little bit. You die or you don't. You're going to have to die. But if you do, the rewards are so great. Amen. But I got to tell you today about the consequences, because we don't hear enough about these in church anymore. The previous generation's church, they talked a lot about the consequences. I grew up around churches and things. They talked about hell a lot. They talked about the fiery flames of hell. El inferno. Come on, the inferno. Come on. You know, and I heard all these messages and they used to put plays on about people going to hell. Hell's flames and heaven's gates. And, you know, and there was a small season where during the Halloween months, churches would put on hell houses. And instead of it being a haunted house, you would pay money and you would go into a house and they would set up each room like what hell's going to be like, according to the word. And in so many ways, they scared the hell out of so many people that at the end of walking through that place, you got saved. It's true. I mean, they did it all over the country. This was like a thing. And maybe some of you know some of those old fire and brimstone sermons or churches where, you know, every Sunday the pastor was up there sweating and screaming that, you know, talking about hell. And, you know, although it might have went into excess, it might have got into, you know, too much. Can I just tell you something? Jesus talked about hell a lot. There's only two other things that he talked about more than hell. And the first thing, get ready, was money. Jesus taught more about money than only one other thing. The first thing he taught about most was the kingdom of God. The second thing he talked about was money. And the third thing he talked about written there was a mix of heaven, but also hell. We don't hear a lot about this today. And because of that, people are deceived into thinking there's no consequences for wrongdoing. And so we've got Christians that look exactly like people in the world. Like if somebody goes to your house, it's no different than somebody that don't even go to church. You talk the same, you cuss the same, you yell the same, you lose your temper the same as somebody that doesn't even know God. And can I just tell you guys, it's 2020. Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to do that? We're playing ourselves. When you don't allow change to take place in your life and just think, well, you know, I'm going to go to church and everything's going to be better. No, you're going to have to start making some decisions, not just to come to church, but I'm going to walk with God now. Yeah. And I'm going to believe his statutes now. Yeah. And I'm going to get off of the road I was on and get rid of the belief system I had. And I'm going to start believing him and his word. And if his word tells me that I shouldn't sleep with somebody that is not my husband or not my wife, then I'm going to subscribe to that. I'm going to need some help with that one, God. Come on, somebody. God, I've been doing it for 20 years. I want to stop, but I don't know if I can. Holy Spirit says, I got you. But you're going to have to do some things. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. You've been drinking 25 years, Fridays. The bar's been getting your tithe for longer than the church has. You've been tithing to the cinch. You've been tithing to good times. You've been tithing to Facebook. You know, that's where your tithe has been going. And now all of a sudden you start hearing in the word and pastors talk about, I need to quit going them places. I need to stop drinking. But pastor, God, I'm going to be honest. I can't stop. Holy Spirit says, I got you. Amen. Amen? Whether it's watching pornography, whatever your lifestyle was that you're coming out of, God does not expect you to do it alone. But he's expecting you to make a choice to say, God, I want to live for you because I understand there are rewards. And what I want you to understand when you leave here is there are also consequences. Look at Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, it says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. What is it telling us? Sin has some wages. In other words, there's a price you pay for sin. And the price is always greater, and the pleasure is always smaller. Can I tell you something? Be careful of fantasies. Reality never measures up to fantasies. Never. Y'all ever go on a vacation that you dreamed of going on? Anybody ever done that? Everybody ever fulfilled a bucket list? It was good, but it don't ever measure up to the fantasy. And you want to know why? Because the fantasy never takes into account things that can go wrong. It never does. That's why I pray for single people. Because they fantasize about marriage. Walks in the park. Picnics. Wearing matching clothes like my wife and I today. Fantasize about having babies, and it's all, wee, throwing them in the air, wee. But that same picture is wee, and throwing up right in your mouth as you threw them up. And you catch them on the way down, and the diaper leaks down. Your favorite sweater got dookie on it now. Amen?
Amen.
The reality never measures up to the fantasy. So be careful of the fantasy. You get that new job and you say, oh, this is going to be amazing. It's the job I always wanted. It's going to be good. But just remember, the reality will never measure up to the fantasy. And so we got to understand some things here with sin. The pull of sin is always the fantasy of it. But it never delivers the same punch, but it always, you'll pay a bigger price. Amen?
Yeah.
And God's trying to warn us of those things. Look at Galatians 6 and 7 in the Message Bible. It says this, don't be misled. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, I'm sorry. It says, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he's going to harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, they're going to harvest a crop of weeds. What are weeds? Weeds are fruitless growth. Growth that doesn't matter. Growth that has no substance. Or not growth at all. That's what a weed is. Weed is something that produces nothing of enjoyment. Doesn't produce fruit. Doesn't produce grain. It's simply empty. And can I just tell you, that's a lot of Christians in America today. They're just weeds, empty. And what I want to encourage you to be is don't be a weed. Be a fruitful tree. Yes. That when people come around you, they can eat of your fruit. Your enjoyment to be around. You're not angry all the time. The question of the day is, what are you mad about today? Yesterday it was the job. Yesterday it was your hair. Yesterday it was your ex. So the question of the day that people get up with, what are you mad about today? There's a song that came out. It's called, Are You Mad Today? It's on the podcast, episode 39. Little plug there. But that song made me laugh when I heard it. I just thought, I know people. That's their theme song right there. Everybody in the office going, what's he mad about today? Don't be mad. Tell your neighbor, don't be mad. Look what it says here. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. Means nothing. But listen to this. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's spirit do the growth work in him, listen, he'll harvest a crop of real life, eternal life. Man, guys, some of you are a few steps away. I see you every week. God's life, he wants to pour out on you. But there's a few decisions you refuse to make. Maybe understanding that there's consequences that to those decisions will help you make that jump. Proverbs chapter 1, 22 and 25, and then I'm jump over to 28 and 31. You can follow me on the screen there. I love Proverbs. I start every day reading a proverb, the proverb of the day, whatever the day is. If it's the 25th, I read Proverbs 25. If it's the 3rd, I read Proverbs 3rd. I love Proverbs because Proverbs is the heart of the father writing to his sons and daughters. The whole purpose of it, of the writing of it, was a dad trying to influence the next generation. And so when I read Proverbs, it's always my heavenly father trying to lace me up on some wisdom. Come on, somebody. Trying to put me up on game. Come on, somebody. Trying to help me. All right? And so look what Proverbs 1 says right here. It says, foolish ones, how much longer will you cling to your deception? How much longer will you mock wisdom? Cynical scorners, you're fighting the facts. Come back to your senses and be restored to reality. Don't even think about refusing my rebuke. Don't you know that I'm ready to pour out my spirit of wisdom on you and bring you to the revelation of my words that will make your heart wise? I've called to you over and over, and still you refuse to come to me. God is saying this to somebody today. I pleaded with you again and again, yet you've turned a deaf ear to my voice, because you've laughed at my counsel and have insisted on continuing in your stubbornness. They paint a picture to you what's happening right here. The father is saying to the son and daughter, when are you going to listen to me? I keep trying to tell you the path you're on is wicked and destructive. I keep trying to tell you, don't date guys that don't know me. I keep trying to tell you, quit sleeping with hood rats. Whatever your interpretation is, whatever your thing is, listen now, this is what the Father is trying to get to you. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. Look at this next part now. Now listen to this next part. This is the consequence, all right? The Father is saying here, I've been trying to tell you, and here's the consequence. Now you cry out to me, but I won't answer. Then it'll be too late to expect my help. When desperation drives you to search for me, I will be nowhere to be found. Because you, not because of him, because you turned up your nose at me. And you closed your eyes to the facts. And you refused to worship me in awe because you, whose fault is this? Are you guys seeing this? Because you scoffed at my wise counsel, laughed at my correction. Now you will eat the bitter fruit of your own ways. You've made your own bed, now lie in it. So how do you like that? That's a drop the mic moment right there, bam. And if you don't read it right, it could sound messed up. But all he's giving you is the consequences. The same, this is the consequences, just like the law is trying to tell you right now. The law speaks to you, right? The law speaks. You guys know the law speaks? If you rob a 7-Eleven, you're going to go to jail. And you're going to go before a judge and you're going to cry. And your mom's going to come and say, please don't lock up my baby. He's a good boy. You're going to cry out for mercy. But guess what's going to happen? You'll find none. Because you chose to break the law. You chose to not listen when it said, don't carry a firearm without a license. Come on, somebody. Smile at me. And then we come and then we're, judge, no. But see, you didn't listen. Can I just tell you, the Father is warning us that life works the same way. Sure, you don't have to listen to the pastor or the word when he says, hey, man, it's time for you to quit sleeping around. It's time for you to quit drinking. It's time for you to give up this. It's time for you to make a decision. Yeah, you could come in here every week, and some of us do, and make zero changes. But here's the problem. God's going to be okay. But you are going to reap the consequences. Your marriage is not going to survive that. Your relationship with your kids is not going to survive that. You won't keep that job living like that. And you'll never find God's best spouse for you until you leave the place that you used to be. You can hear me talk about it. You can read it in his word. But until you take the consequence serious, nothing changes. Tell your neighbor, that's good preaching. Let's keep going here. So always understand this. Remember this, all right? Rebellion against God is always punished. Rebellion against God is always punished. Well, Pastor, I thought you said God's a rewarder. Hold on. I'm not saying God's punishing you. Let's make this clear right here. God is not up there punishing you. The same way if I tell my son Sergio, right here, who's talking to his brother while I'm trying to use him in my sermon. If I tell Sergio, hey, man, don't gangbang. Don't hang out in the streets. Some of you laughing. Hey, man, don't do that. Don't hang out with those dudes. Because if you do something dumb, they're going to put you in jail. And he don't listen to me. And he goes and joins the purple people eaters or whatever. Whatever gang is out there. I don't want to use a real gang. So I put that out there. So he's like, no, I'm down with the purple people eaters. And I say, son, don't do it. Because you're gonna get you in jail. I don't care, Dad. I'm going to do it. He goes and he joins them and they rob somebody and he goes before the judge and he gets put in jail. Did I do that? No. Am I the one that is punishing him? No. Life is punishing him. And you know what? We get mad at God for the choices that we make in life. And we get in trouble and we go, okay, God, you got me. God's like, I ain't had nothing to do with that. I didn't do that. I didn't make you marry that crazy person. Okay, God, I get the picture. God's like, what? I'm glad you got the picture, but I am not punishing you. You have simply made a choice. Because we have people, they give God the credit for the decisions they make. Man, God finally got a hold of me when I went to jail. God had to put me in jail. No, fool, you put yourself in jail. Remember, God's a rewarder. God is ready to bless you, bless you, bless you. All he tells you is what's on the other side. So if my son makes a decision against my warning and then he's punished, I'm not the one punishing him. The law is. And guess what? Life is like that. Mom and dad trying to tell you something, you won't listen. Pastors try to tell you something, you won't listen. Your friends try to tell you something, you won't listen. So guess what has to happen? Life has to now speak. And life speaks very loud. I would rather be corrected and instructed by my heavenly Father, who is a rewarder, than shun his voice and now be corrected by life. And guys, these are the consequences that every single one of us in here has to make. And it's not God punishing you. It's simply you understanding that you have the power to make your life better or make it worse. Can I get an amen? Amen. But understand this, rebellion against God will always be punished. So ask yourself this, what is it you're rebelling against God in your life? Is it your giving? Is it your tithing? Have you not yet made it a point to give God the tenth? Have you not yet made it a point to put God first in your giving? Even though there's scripture after scripture, every week I share from the word from it. You hear it and you go, yeah, but we can't do it. Yeah, I don't know about all that. Yeah, but this pastor ripped people off. Well, understand, when it's made known, you have a choice to obey or rebel. Obedience brings a reward. Rebellion is always punished. But God is not doing the punishing. Life is punishing you. When you find your finances in a mess, God ain't doing that. It could be that you chose to rebel in that area. So this is an encouraging word. There should be some fear there, but really it's better to know what's on the other side of the dumb decisions we're making. Because some of you just think you're rebelling against mom and dad, or you're rebelling against your leaders. But man, could it be you're rebelling against God? See, you think you're just rebelling against your husband. He can't tell me nothing. Okay? But God's word says, submit. Wives, submit to your husbands. Got real quiet in this Baptist church. Yeah, but it's 2020. And? Right? Amen? What are you rebelling against? Well, my wife's crazy. But the Bible tells you, the Bible tells you, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. You going to do that or not? Nah, because she's crazy. Rebellion against God's word will be go come with a punishment. Are you guys seeing this? So we've got to do some things, look in the mirror. What am I rebelling against what God's telling me? Because there is a consequence. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, unbelievers and believers should not be equally yoked in dating relationships. It's what it says. But for the life of me, some of us are just like, nope. If he's fine and nice to me, I'm going to be with him. Rebellion against God's word will carry a punishment. And then you'll sit before me and I got to try to help keep your marriage alive. Let's keep going. Amen. Tell your neighbor, this is getting good. Okay, so here are some of the consequences of disobeying God. And these are what we find in the word. Number one, death. Death is a consequence of disobeying God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, let's break down what does death mean? Because some of you just thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die. No, listen, if that was true, you'd have been dead. You'd have never made it out of ninth grade the way you was living. Okay? But let's break down the word death. What does death mean? Death means this, no life. No growth. Guess what else it means? Depression. Depression. Can I help you today? Depression is evidence of death in your life. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Depression. We live with depression today. Everybody's like, oh, it's my depression. And then, listen, I understand those things are real, but can I tell you what else is real? God's word. God's word is real. And the more of it you put in you, the more life you'll have. The more life you'll have, the less depression you'll have. Is that all right? Is that all right to say? Is that all right to say? Because you can resign to a life of depression. They'll prescribe you drugs for it. And if they did, take them. Amen? If they did, take them. I'm not anti that. But I am just saying this. Sometimes depression is evidence of death in your life. And death in your life many times is evidence of rebellion against God. So could it be there's something you won't do that God's been trying to ask you to do for the longest time? And you're rebelling and now carrying a bunch of depression. Could it be? Ask your neighbor the nicest way you can. Could it be? Just like, could it be? Like super nice. Call him honey or something too. Could it be honey? Sugar? Pumpkin? Could it be pumpkin? Guys, can I tell you something? I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to me. Listen, there's not a pastor in America that don't tell you we don't deal with depression. Because y'all depress us. Because I think I got good church members and then I get on Instagram. Then I get on Facebook. And I go, God, make me a better pastor, Lord. Anoint me, break the chain, you know? So I'm preaching to me because I got to deal with some of that. And so when depression is in my life, sometimes I got to look, boy, there's some death here. Death is a wage of sin. Is there an area in my life, God, that you've asked me for or asked me to do that is producing this? Is this helping anybody today? So a consequence of rebellion against God is death. No life, no growth, depression. Number two, the second consequence against rebelling against God is weeds. It's what the Bible says, weeds. You'll have weeds. Galatians chapter 6 says that. You won't have fruit, you'll have weeds. What are weeds? This is what weeds are. Number one, you have no substance. No substance. You look like a Christian, but don't have any of the power of a Christian. You look like one. Especially when you're sitting in these chairs. Y'all look real good on Sundays. Real good. But how do you look Saturday night? At about 2 a.m. Oh. How do you look Monday? How do you look Friday when you're trying to meet that deadline? And your coworkers keep messing it up. So you go to dropping F-bombs around the office. It's getting too real in here right now. I know. See, what is that? No substance. You look like a Christian, but you ain't got none of the substance. See, this is what happens. So you look like a Christian, and then something bad happens, you fall to pieces. See, when tough times hit a Christian, we ready. Tell your neighbor, we ready. We ready. What? They said, I ain't got no job. Okay, I'm going to make this happen. Well, praise God. We're going to get through this. What? There's a recession? What? Okay, God, this is where I need you. Going through a tough time? What? Doctor says you can't have a baby? What? Okay, we're not going to fall to pieces. We're going to take it to God. Amen. They said you can't have a house? They said we don't qualify? Okay, hold up. Wait a minute. Let me breathe in a little bit. God, this is what they're saying. Show us what we need to correct. Show us what we need to fix because we refuse to give them the keys to our destiny. Are you guys seeing? That's a Christian with substance. That's a Christian with substance right there. Okay? They got substance. We could do this. A Christian with substance can say no to sin. We could say no to sin. I ain't been on a date in 5 years and I'm good because you got substance. I ain't been on a date in 3 months and I just want to kill myself. Maybe that's a little extreme. Edit that one right there. I don't want to get letters. But you understand what I'm saying. There's no substance. You crying over stuff that a Christian should be able to do. You should be okay. You should be all right because you got substance. A weed has no substance. Number two, a weed has no fruit. No evidence. There's no evidence you're a Christian. Guys, you got to remember, people should be able to tell you know God. Not because you're Christian shirts or because you wear this logo. They should be able to tell because you're nice around the office. You're the best boss they ever had. You're the most generous boss they ever saw. They come to you, you're always like, yeah, what can I do? I'm going to try to make that happen. They walk away going, dang, my boss is cool. He's generous. He's like God. Right? They should be able to feel that you and I are Christians. Your neighbors should know you're a Christian because how you handle things. They're playing their music too loud. You don't go, hey. You go over, hey, man, could you turn that down a little bit? Amen? Little things, guys. What is that? That's fruit. Guess who also should know you're a Christian? Your spouse. Your spouse should know you're a born-again believer. Your spouse should feel like you know Jesus. There are times your spouse should feel like, man, I'm married to Jesus. He's so good to me. He forgives me every time I lose my temper. She forgives me every time I do something dumb. Right? There should be that in the marriage. Your kids should feel like that. Like, man, my parents, thank God they're Christians. They're not all stingy. I get all insecure when I see my kids laughing in the front row. It's true, though. You guys seeing this? And that's what having substance and fruit will do. So number one, we get rebellion. Rebellion against God will produce death, which means no life, no growth, depression. Number two, it produces weeds, no substance, no fruit. Number three, it produces, here it is, separation from God. Separation from God. And some of you have been living in perpetual separation from God. And that scares me. Because you think something else can replace connection with the Lord. Listen, this church can't replace it. A relationship with my wife and I can't replace it. We got to get you connected to God. And here's the thing. Some of us, you love God, but you don't spend time with him. There's a price to pay for his presence. You know what that price is? Time. Time. Spend time with God and change will come. Spend time with God and change will come. The price of his presence is time. And we're so time conscious today, but we're time conscious with the wrong things. You know, church services in America today, man, some places get it done in 45 minutes. Some of y'all say, where? Sound like my kind of church. Some of y'all, we ain't seeing you next week. I'm going to go find that church. But you know what? It's true. And I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. But understand this. If you won't give God some of your time, how can he bring change into your life? His presence is free, but the one thing it takes is time. Yeah. So every morning I got to give up, give him some time. Yeah. Give him some time. Bow your head, crack that book over, and give him some time. Time is the price of his presence. Yeah. We come in here, we sing for a good 30 minutes or so in his presence. That's the time to get his manifested presence in here. You'll find it in your life if you'll just give him time. Amen. But separation from God. So here's what we find. People that have rebellion against the Lord, they don't pray. Guys, it's got to get to the place where prayerlessness is unacceptable in your life. Some of you are just like, well, God still loves me. He does. He's not going to love you more if you pray a lot. It's the truth. But guess what? Other people will love you more if you pray a lot. Like your wife. Like your husband. Like your kids, like your boss, like your neighbors. Amen? Amen. Because that time changes us. Amen. So separation from God. Number four, isolation. Isolation is a result of rebellion against God. People who isolate never connect with anybody else. And can I just tell you, it's nobody's job to connect with you. Only in church do we believe that. We've had people tell us at times, well, I'm going to leave the church because nobody's connecting with me. Try that at your job. Try that at the club. I stopped going out because nobody came over and talked to me. What? I don't go to parties no more because nobody talks to me at them. What? Nobody does that. Because it's your job to have a good time. Come on, somebody. And guess what? We come to church and we want other people to do what is our job. We want them to praise God good for us. We want people to connect with me. Hey, if you want to connect with somebody, and I've said it before, that's up to you to do. There's opportunities for you to connect. Amen? That's how life works. The Bible says it like this. He who has friends must first show himself friendly. That means it's on you. Tell your neighbor it's on you. It's on you. Right? You want to make friends? Can I help you today? I've said this before. All you got to do is carry a pack of gum and stand around after church and go, hey, you want some gum? Because everybody likes gum, amen? And the second thing you got to do is just this, give compliments. Hey, man, I like that sweatshirt, bro. That's nice. You want to know why those two things work? Because everybody likes gum and everybody likes compliments. That's it. Everybody start connecting with you. Oh, that's the dude that gave me that gum and told me my shirt was nice. You won't leave a service without people high-fiving and hugging you. But when you just come in all, people are afraid of you. Come on, smile at your neighbor. Tell them you love them. Tell them you love them. Is this helping anybody? But can I tell you why we're like that? Isolation. Rebellion against God. I'll say it like this. Rebellion against God will make you ugly. It'll make you ugly. Let's keep going. Number five, last thing here, confusion. Guys, these are the consequences of sin. These are the consequences of rebelling against God. You will have all these things in your life. And can I tell you, confusion is gripping our nation like nothing else. Confusion is the cause of much mental illness. People get confused and it just gets so bad that now their mind is not working because of the trauma they've gone through. But can I just tell you, submission to God and making a choice to serve Him can bring clarity into your life. It can. But we still got people, we trying to serve God the way we feel like it is going to be all right. Right? So, you know, I know we shouldn't be sleeping together. We ain't married, but, you know, God understands. He understands that you want to be corrected by the consequences. He understands that you would rather have, you want to ignore the rewards. The Father's reaching out to you today. Not in a way to condemn you, or make you feel like, hey, you're blowing it in life. But the Father's reaching out to you as a sign on the freeway. There's a cliff coming up. It's not here now. You're enjoying the road now. But about 10 miles down the road, there's a cliff. And there's a sign that says, don't go this way. Cliff. You could ignore the sign and then reap the consequence. And then when people do that, they shake their fist at God. You did this. God's like, no, I tried to tell you. I sent you to that church with that pastor with that white sweatshirt on, looking like a snowman up there. I sent you to that church. And he preached that word, do you remember? And you didn't listen. And you thought, oh, well, I'm just, you know, whatever. If God wants to change me, he could change me. It don't work like that. He wants you to choose him. And he's here today. He's here today not as a punisher, as a rewarder. So you got to ask yourself, God, what is it that I'm continuing to put above you? Is it my pride? You've been asking me to seek your face every morning and I don't do it, God. You've been challenging me to lift my hands and worship, and I don't do it, God. Like, how long will you just ignore his voice? Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.